Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Vav Kama Daf Ches. We left off Daf Zayin Amud Beis at the two dots, which are three lines down in the wide lines. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Le'a Shalom, also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and captives. We thank both sponsors very, very much for their continued and repeated sponsorship of the shiur. So today, we are going to cover primarily, I would say, two topics. The first topic is as follows. So we had been seeing, at least over the past couple of days, that there is a concept that by Nezikin, if somebody causes somebody else damage, he has to pay from the Edis. He has to pay from the best property. So we saw yesterday in depth the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Whose best property? Is it the Nizik's best property? Is it the Mazik's best property? Today we're going to talk about, when we talk about best property, are we talking about on a relative scale or are we talking about it on an absolute scale? So for example, if you have somebody who owns a couple of grades of property, but his best property is far inferior to what anybody would consider best property or what the world would consider best property, what's the halacha there? Can he get away with paying with his own best property or does he have to go find some property which is objectively good? And the flip side of that debate is, let's say you have a person who happens to have an exceptional piece of property, which is far superior to what the world would objectively call a piece of good property. Is it enough to go pay with the level of good property that the Welt would say is good property, or does he have to pay from his own best property, which is really far superior, over and above what the world would consider good property? So that's what we're going to talk about for the first part of the daf, the relative sense of Edis, whether it's measured by him or whether it's measured by reference to some more objective standard. And then on Chesem and Aleph, going all the way into Chesem and Beis, which is going to take us into tomorrow's daf even, we're going to talk about the concept of a shibud. In other words, if somebody owes a creditor money, or if somebody owes a damaged party money, or if somebody owes a woman money in payment for a ksuva, and then then he transfers his property. So the halacha is that the obligation to satisfy the creditor, the obligation to satisfy the payment obligation, transfers along with the property. It's sort of like a mortgage. And we're going to see, like, what if a person transfers all of his property? What if a person only transfers part of his property? What if a person transfers his property in sequence versus all at one time? What happens if there are subsequent transfers of the property? If it sounds technical, it's because it is. Hopefully, we'll be able to explain it in a clear way. So says the Gemara again. This is three lines down in the wide lines on Zion Amud Beis. Also, I want to give a special shout out to Judah Powers, who I see is on the Zoom. A Chayal, I think he's in. There he is. Our much respect to you and much love, and thank you for joining us. And Hatzlacha. So anyway, says the Gemara, the two dots, Zion Amud Beis. So Ba Mine Rav Shmuel Bar Abba Meakrunya Me Rabbi Abba. So Rav Shmuel Bar Abba Meakrunya asked Rabbi Abba Kashen Shaman when they evaluate property to see what is Edis, B'shalo Ein Shaman or B'shal Olam Ein Shaman. Do they value based on his best property or do they value based on property, based on what the world would consider, based on what the world would generally consider good property? So Rashi says the nafkamina is that if a person has several levels of property, but his best property is not quite as good as what the world would objectively consider best property, when we say that the mazik has to pay from the edis, and it's important to note that the mafarshim, the pashup shot here, is that this suffix, this question, only applies in the shita of Rabbi Akiva, who says that you have to pay from the mazik's edis, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that you have to pay from the edis of the nizik, it appears to be very clear that you have to pay with whatever property is equivalent to the nizik's best property. But when we establish the edis based on the mazik, the question is, does it literally mean what the mazik has, or does it mean that the mazik just has to go out and get the best property? And says Rashi, that's the pasha nafkamina. The nafkamina is, if a person has three levels of property, the mazik has a couple of levels of property, but his best property is not quite as superior as what the world would consider the best property, is it enough for him to give his best property? Does he have to go out and get the best property from the world? So says the Gemara, as follows. That Aliba the Rabbi Yishmael lo tibay lach. According to Rabbi Yishmael, again, as we just said, there's no kasha. The Amar b'din Izik shaymin, and he says that when you have to pay Izik, when you have to pay Idis, rather, we evaluate what is Idis based on the property levels of the Nizik. Ki tibay lach Aliba the Rabbi Akiva. We're only asking this kasha according to Rabbi Akiva. The Amar b'din Mazik shaymin, who says that you evaluate the levels of property based on the property levels of the mazik. So says the Gemara, this is the kasha. My metav sadeyu amrachmana. So again, remember that the source of Rabbi Akiva's shita was that whereas Rabbi Yishmael learned gzeira shava sadeh, Rabbi Akiva said, no, the pashup shad is metav sadeyu, the best of his field. Whose field? The guy who's paying. He has to pay from the best of his field. So as a metav sadeyu amrachmana lemute denizik, it comes to exclude the nizik, but he still has to go find the best property. Odilma lemute di almanami. Or maybe, no, what it means is pashup shad is he's got to pay from his best property. Even if his best property might not be as good as the best property of the world, it's not objectively good property, but it's his best property, that's enough. Or do we say, no, he's got to pay with really, really superior property. The only thing that Meitav Sadeyu comes to exclude is that we don't reference it based on the Nizik. Again, the Nafkamina being that if he doesn't have any objectively good property, he would have to go out and buy some in order to reimburse the Nizik. Says the Gemara, Amar Lei Rachmana Amar Meitav Sadeyu, V'at Amar B'Shalom Lomain Shaman. I mean, it's an obvious question, right? The question was obvious. Just like we're saying Meitav Sadeyu comes to exclude the Sadeh of the Nizik, that we reference it, we view it by reference to the mazik and not by reference to the nizik. So to metav sadehu, it means his best field. Whose best field? The mazik's best field, not the velt's best field. Of course, it means the mazik's best field. So says the Gemara. Amar leirachmana metav sadehu v'atam amar shalom lemein shaman. Great. So says the Gemara now. Vayter eisvei ein lo ela idis. If let's say he only has idis. So kulam, all of them, who are all of them? So Rashi points out that all of them are the three different types of creditors that we mentioned in the Akdama to the Shir. So again, we've been spending the last couple of days focusing on a nizik, what a nizik gets paid. There are two other primary types of creditors. There's a balchov, in other words, there's a lender who has to be paid back by the borrower, and there's a woman who has to be paid for her ksuva. So the halacha is that the nizik gets paid with idis, the balchov gets paid with beninis, and the ksuvas isha is paid with ziburis. That's the general halacha. Let's say the guy doesn't have three levels of property. Let's say he has only one level of property, it's all top shelf. Says the Gemara, kulam govim mina idis. They all get to collect from idis because they all have to be paid back. The halacha is that that they can be paid with inferior property, but if he doesn't have inferior property, he's got to pay them from superior property. Says the Gemara, Beninis, let's say he only has Beninis, Kulam Govin Beninis, everybody collects Beninis, Ziburis. If he only has inferior property, Kulam Govin Ziburis, they all collect from Ziburis. Now, Hayelo Idis Beninis for Ziburis, if he has all three levels of property, then it's simple, everybody slots in at their appropriate level. Nizikin Beidis, the Nizik gets paid with Idis, Balchov Beninis, the Balchov gets paid with Beninis, Uksuvas Isha Beziburis, and the woman gets paid with Ziburis. Now the Gemara tries to move things around, now it makes it complicated. So either Subaninus, let's say he only has two levels of property. There is the good property and there is the middling property. He doesn't have any inferior property. So the woman who would ordinarily go against the inferior property has got to figure out another place to go. So Idis Subaninus and Nizakin be Idis. So the Nizik gets paid with Idis because that's what's appropriate. Balchov Ksuvas Isha Bebaninus. And the Balchov and the Ksuvas Isha get paid with the Baninus. So the Balchov, for obvious reasons, because that's what he's entitled to. The Ksuvas Isha, because we have to level her up. She has to get paid. There is no Ziburis. Therefore, she's going to jump up to the Baninus. Now, Baninus Viziburis, if there's only Baninus Viziburis, so there is no Idis, so Nizikin Balchov Bebaninus. So the Nizik and the Balchov get the Beninis, the Balchov because that's what the Takana is, that he gets Beninis, the Nizik gets it because that's his best property, Uksuvas Isha Viziburis, and the Ksuvas Isha gets paid with Ziburis. Says the Gemara now, the final case, Idis Viziburis, let's say he only has the bookends, he doesn't have any middle property, but he has inferior property and he has superior property. Nizikin be Idis, the Nizik gets paid with Idis because that's the Halacho, Balchov, Uksuvas Isha Viziburis, and the Balchov and the Ksuvas Isha get paid with Ziburis. So Rashi says, why doesn't the Balchov get to level up? Sometimes we see people leveling up. So the Balchov ordinarily goes against the Beinonis. Now we're pushing him down to the Ziburis. Why doesn't he go up to the Idis? So Rashi points out, because Lahalacha Minatora, the Balchov gets paid with Ziburis. It was a Tzakana de Rabbanan that said, because Lo Sinol Delos B'Pnei Lovin, nobody's going to want to lend money if when he gets the money paid back, he's going to get paid with inferior property. So the Chachamim said, you know what, we're going to pay the Balchov with Beinonis. However, when there is no Beinonis, we stand on the Din D'Oraisa, and the Balchov gets Ziboris. Okay, so those are all the cases. Who goes against what, where there are only certain levels of property that the payor has? But says the Gemara, K'tani Mia Metzia. But look at the middle case. Beinonis v'ziburis, we said that if there's Beinonis and Ziburis, Nizakin u'balchov b'beinonis, the Nizik and the Balchov get paid from the Beinonis property, uksavas isha b'ziburis, and the ksuvas isha gets paid with Ziburis. Now, again, we're calling it Beinonis because it obviously is middling property relative to what the world would consider middling property, but it's the best property that he has. Yet we're calling it Beinonis. V'yamrit b'shaloein shaman. If you want to say that that we make it by reference to his best property, tasa Beinonis shalo ki'idis, v'yidcha balchov eitzol ziburis. So the Gemara's kasha is that the middling property that he has shouldn't be considered Beinonis, it should be considered idis, because according to him, based on the reference to what he has, that's the best property. So that should be considered his top shelf property. The nafkamina is, if that's considered to be his top shelf property, we shouldn't let the Balchov collect from it, because it's not Beinonis, it should be considered idis, and we should push the Balchov down to the Ziburis. Says the Gemara, Hakav Mayaskina Kagon Shaisalo Idis Umachra. No. The case over here is where he had Idis and then he sold it. Where he had Idis and then he sold it. What are we talking about here? So Rashi points out that we're talking about where he had Idis, and after he borrowed the money, he then sold the Idis. Meaning, at the time that he borrowed the money, the Beinonis was already meshubad to the Balchov, because at the time of the loan, this property was considered Beinonis even by reference to what he owned, and therefore the Balchov already had a lien on that property. The Yamshel Shlomo says that this is only the case if he sold the property after the payment date. But that's not where, because already then the loan was due, and then there's really Yeshiva, but that's not what Rashi says. Rashi and most of the Akronim who interpret Rashi say that, no. What this follows is, as Rashi points out, la'achar halva. If after the debt was incurred, he sold his Edis, then the Balchov already had a taina, he already had a claim to the Beinonis, and that's why, even though now there is no more Edis, the Balchov still gets to collect against the Beinonis. Meaning, what we've said here is that there's no raya that we value Bishalo, we might value Bishal Olam, yet how come the Balchov get, well, there's no raya that we value Bishal Olam, we might value Mishalo. How come the Balchov gets to collect from the Beinonis if it's his Edis? So the reason is because there was Edis that was sold. The Balchov already had a lien against the Beinonis. Says the Gemara, Hachinami Mistabra, Midiktani Yachriti, because there's another Vraisa that says Beinonis v'Ziburis, same levels of property. There's Beinonis and Ziburis, Nizakin v'Beinonis, the Nizak gets the Beinonis, Balchov v'Ksuvazisha v'Ziburis. So we do push the Balchov down to Ziburis. So how does that work? That's a stira. Previously we said the Balchov gets to go against the Beinonis. Now we're saying the Balchov has to go against the Ziburis. Kasha Nadodi, it's a stira. Elalav Shmamina, Kansha Isalo Idisumachra, Kanshalo Isailo Idisumachra. No, the Kasha, the Nafkamina is, the determining factor here is, when the loan was extended, was there Edis property? If there was Edis property, then the Balchov had a lien that attached to the Beinonis, and therefore he gets to collect against the Beinonis, even if the Edis was subsequently sold. If there was no Edis property, then the Balchov never had a lien against the Beinonis, because the Beinonis was really the Lovez Edis, and therefore he's got to go against the Ziboris. Okay, Viva Seima. Maybe both cases are talking about where they're, and the Mepharshim point out here that Yibo HaSeima is not really Yibo HaSeima. It's not an alternative answer, it's a rejection of the first answer. So some have a girsa of low. So some have a girsa of low. Idi vidi shalo aisalo idi sumachra. He never had idis that was sold. That's not the case. V'lo kasha, hadi shavya beinin ishalo ki idis de alma. V'kan, de lo shavya beinin ishalo ki idis de alma. That in the case where we say the Balchov gets to collect from the Beinonis, that's where his Beinonis is. That's where his Beinonis is not like Edis the Alma, is not like Edis of the rest of the world, and therefore the Balchov can collect from it. However, where his Beinonis is like the Edis of the rest of the world, we're not going to let the Balchov collect from that, and that's the situation in which the Balchov is going to be pushed down to the Ziboris. Viba Sema, another answer is Edividi Kugon Shaisa Beinonis Shaloka Beinonis the Alma. No, what he has as Beinonis is level with what the world would consider Beinonis. And this is what the argument is. Mar Sarvar Bishaloin Shaman. One Brisa holds that we value based on his own property, and therefore, even though his Beinonis is like the Beinonis the Alma, for him, it's the Edis, and therefore the Balchov doesn't get to collect from Edis. Therefore, we're going to push the Balchov down to the Ziburis. Umar Savar, Bishal Olam Ein Shaman, and the other Mandiyamar holds that we value Bishal Olam, and because we make reference to Bishal Olam, the Balchov can collect against the Beinonis, because we don't consider the Beinonis to be Edis, we rather consider it to be Beinonis. Okay, so says the Gemara now Vayter as follows. So Ravina Amar Bedula Pligi. Ravina says they're arguing about Ula. The Amar Ula, Dvar Torah, and we alluded to this a couple of minutes ago. Dvar Torah, Balchov Beziburis. Mina Torah, Midoraisa, the Balchov gets to collect only from the inferior property. Shenemar, Bachutz Tamod, Vaish Asher Ata Noshebo, Yotzi Alecha Zavota Chutza. That they stand outside and then you bring him his collateral overnight. Samar Darko Shel Adam Lahotzi Lachutz. Pachash Abakalim. What is the derech for a person to bring outside? It's the Pachash Abakalim. Umatam Umru Balchov Beinonis. Why did we say that the Balchov gets to collect from Beinonis? So that people will extend loans, because if the lender would only get paid from inferior property, he's never going to want to extend the loan. So we made a takana that he gets to level up, that the Balchov gets to collect from Beinonis. Now, Mar Islay Takanta Dula, one Mandiyamar, the Mandiyamar who says that where the guy has only Beinonis and Ziburis, the Balchov gets to collect from Beinonis. He holds like Ula, and therefore we're going to let the Balchov collect from the Beinonis. Umar less late takanta to Ula, and the other Mandiyamar doesn't hold from the takana of Ula at all, and therefore the Balchov gets pushed down to Ziburis. But everybody says that we evaluate this based on Shel Olam and not based on Shelo, not based on the property that he has, but we evaluate it based on the property that the world would consider to be good property. Again, the Nafkamina, as Rashi pointed out in the beginning of the sugya, is that if the Mazik has good, his best property, but his best property is not yet on the level of what the world would consider good property, he's got to go out, he's got to find better property, and he's got to repay his obligation with that property. Tosfos over here asks an interesting question. We had quoted from this pasuk of Bachutz Tamod that the borrower stands outside and you return his collateral with the Pachosh of Bekelim. So Tosfos over here points out, I thought we said yesterday at the very end of the shiur that when the pasuk says Meitav, all metaltalin are considered to be Meitav, right? Because the criteria for Meitav is that it's very easily sold, and metaltalin is always easy to sell because if there's no market in a particular location, you can move it to another location and you could sell it there. It's only karka where we're more concerned with metav versus not metav, because you can't move karka, obviously. So how are you telling me that there's even something called pachosh habekelim? Even pachosh habekelim is called metav. And says Tosfos, yeah, that's considered to be metav for the purpose of repaying an obligation. But obviously, when you're talking about a range of metaltalin, when you're talking about a range of movable objects, there are levels in the quality of the movable object that you have. So that was la halacha, yeah, that it's all called metav. It fits into the gzeres hakasav. But over here, obviously, there are different gradations of property, and it's a derech to pay with the worst level of those movable objects, of those types of items of personal property. Okay, says the Gemara now, Viter, Tanu Rabbanan, at the two dots. So now again, we had said that if you have all of these obligations, the Nizik gets paid from the best, the Balchov gets paid from the middle, and the Ksuvas Isha gets paid from the most inferior, from the worst level of property. What happens if the obligor doesn't own any property? He transferred all of his property to somebody else or to three other people. What's the halacha then? So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Mocher Le'echad, if he sold all of his property to one person, O L'shlosha b'nei adam ke'echad, or he sold it to three people at once. What does it mean at once? It means on the same day. So, Kulan nichnasu tachas habaylim. So everybody enters tachas habaylim, meaning that all of the, that the lekuchos, everybody who buys the property has to satisfy the obligation that the seller owed, as if the seller still owed the property. In other words, there's a mortgage on the property, and the mortgage follows the property even if the property changes hands. So that's the halacha. Okay, so Tosfos over here actually wonders, and therefore each of the buyers has to satisfy the obligation from the property that he holds. The buyer of the best property has got to pay the Nizik. The buyer of the middle property has got to pay the Balchov. The buyer of the inferior property has got to pay the Ksuvas Isha. Tosfos wonders over here, why is it that there's a mortgage that attaches to the Edis to secure the payment of the Nizik? There is no shtar. Usually there's only a mortgage when there is a shtar, but it's not like a case of a balchov where they drew up a promissory note. Over here, there was no shtar, so it's a milva b'shtar. Why is there a mortgage? It's a milva alper, rather. Why is there a mortgage? And so Tosfos gives two answers, the second of which I thought was the most pasha. So first he says, no, it's because the Nizik already took the Mazik to court and already obtained the judgment. So because he obtained the judgment, now it's considered to be a milva b'shtar. That's why there's a mortgage on the property. Or Tosfos says that the milva ksuva b'torah is ki'ilu ksuva b'shtar. That, you know why it's considered to be a milva b'shtar? You know why there's a mortgage? Because the Torah says you have to pay. So when the Torah says you have to pay, the Torah is a shtar, right? It's the best shtar we have. So the Torah says you have to pay. So that's why the mortgage is going to follow, is going to attach to the property, and the obligation is going to follow the property. Okay, so this is a case where either he sold all of his property to one person or he sold it to three people on the same day. The obligations have to be satisfied from that property, each according to its own level. B'zech or zeh, let's say he sold the properties to three people, one after the other, on three different days. So kulan govim in achron, they all collect from the last purchaser. Why? Because the last purchaser is the one who bought property, which was still in the hands of the seller when the two prior purchasers bought the property. So if we would have frozen at that moment in time, if somebody would have come to the lekuchos at that time and said, hey, pay me, the lekuchos would have said, no, go against the mocher, go against the seller, because he's your obligor, and go collect from him. Because the halacha is that you cannot collect from nechasim mishubadim, you cannot collect from properties that have already been sold when there were nechasim bnei chorin, when there were nechasim that still remain in his property. So again, in the case of Bezer Chazeh, kulan govim in achron, everybody collects from the last one. Eimlo, if he doesn't have enough property, govim mishalafanav, you collect from the second buyer. Eimlo, govim mishalafnefanav. If he doesn't have any left, then you collect from the first buyer. Machron liacher, hey chedami, what kind of case are we talking about where he sold, well, machron la'echad rather, hey chedami, what case are we talking about where he sold it to one person? Ilema babas achas, if he sold all of his property to one person in a single transaction. So what's the chiddush? Hasha l'shlosha dikol amemar chaminay kodem amret kulo nichnezu tachas bailim machron la'echad miboy. You already said that if he sold it to three different people on the same day, then everybody is obligated to satisfy his respective obligation. So certainly, if you sold it to one person, the halacha is that everybody would he would have to satisfy all of these obligations that rest against the property. There's an interesting shita over here of the Rashba, who says that even if all the properties were sold to three different people on the same day, they were still sold at the same time, right? And in other words, they still could have been sold rather at different times. Like one property could have been sold in the morning, one property could have been sold at noon, one property could have been sold in the afternoon. So can't we say that at the time when he bought the first property, the third property was still in the Rishus of the Mocher? So Rashi would say no, because we don't write down the time of day. And Tosfos says this as well. We don't write out the time of day on the shtar. So you would just write the date. You wouldn't write the time of day. So for legal purposes, it's all considered to have been transacted at the same time. The Rashpo says that we follow the time of day when the transaction occurred, doesn't necessarily think that you write down the time of day in the shtar. Rather, he follows when the mesira of the shtar took place, and not necessarily the time when the shtar was drafted, not necessarily the date on the shtar. Okay, but in any event, if he sells all his property to one person, the one person's going to be obligated, the lokech is going to be obligated to satisfy these obligations. When he sells it to three people at the same time, they're obligated. So, says the Gemara, Lepshita b'zeh acharzeh. No. We're talking about where he sold it zeh acharzeh, when he sold it one after the other. U'mayshna shlosha d'kol chavechad amar lehenachte lecha makom ligvos mimeni. That each buyer could say, wait, I left property for you to collect. Meaning the first buyer can say if the Balchov or if the Nizek comes to him, he could say, don't collect from me. I didn't buy all of the seller's property. I didn't buy all of the obligor's property. Go collect from his Nechasim B'nei Chorin. Zahainami, akol chad v'chad, lemelei enachti l'makom ligvos mimeni. When there's a single buyer also, let the guy say, don't collect from my Edis, because I bought that first. I left some ziburis in the mocher's property, in the mocher's possession for you to collect from. In other words, any taina that could have been made by individual lekuchos should be able to be made by a single okeach if it's all based on the sequence of the transactions. Says the Gemara, hachav mayaskinik kagon shalakach idis bachrona. Ah, the problem is that he bought the idis last. V'chein amar Rav Sheshes kagon shalakach idis bachrona, that he bought the idis last. And therefore, what he wants is the lokeach wants that he should be protected by the takana, that he slots into the possession of the obligor and everybody gets to collect from his appropriate level of property. Because if that's the result, if everybody gets to collect from his appropriate level of property, then the Nizik is going to get paid from Idis, the Balchov is going to get paid from Beinanis, and the Ksuvazisha is going to get paid from Ziburis. If we don't follow that takana, if we let everybody collect from the property that was purchased last because it remained in the possession of the original obligor the longest, then it turns out that everybody's going to get to collect from the Edis. So this is a situation where he bought things bazar chazeh. He bought the Edis last, but he wants to take advantage of having everybody slot into their respective levels to avoid everybody being able to seek recourse against the Edis. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, Leisukul of Ligva Me'idis. Well, in that case, that taka should be the result. Why is he allowed to say, oh, everybody gets to collect from their own level of property? Everybody should collect from the Edis because the Edis is what was transacted the last. Says the Gemara, Mishum Damar Le'iu, Shtiku V'Shakiltu Kedinaichu Shkiltu, because the Lokeach has leverage. He could say, listen, if you're going to sit down and sit tight, then you'll be able to collect from the value of the property, from the type of property that you should ordinarily collect from. However, V'ilo, Madrina Shtara Ziziburte Lamare V'Shakiltu Kulam Ziburis. Otherwise, I'm going to play a fast one on you, and I'm going to reverse the transaction in respect of the Ziburis. I'm going to make a new kinyan on behalf of the mocher. I'm going to give him back his ziburis, and then it's going to turn out that I have only idis and beninis. The mocher still has his ziburis. We have already said that you cannot collect from nechassim mishubadim, nechassim in the hands of lekuchos, when there are nechassim b'nei chorin in the hands of the mocher. So if you're not careful, if you don't all agree to slot into your respective levels, I'm going to make sure to pull leverage on you. I'm going to make sure to leave the mocher with ziburis, and I'm going to make sure that you all collect from ziburis. Says the Gemara, Yachi, but if that's the case, flipping to chesam and beis, Menizikin Nami Neimahachi. So let him say that let him say that to the Nizik as well. In other words, that if you want, you could collect from Beinonis. And if not, I'm gonna mess you over even further, because I'm gonna return the Ziburis to the seller, and then you're gonna have to collect from the Ziburis. So why should the halacha be that you have to give the Nizik Edis? So, and therefore Rashi points out, which we're gonna get to in the Gemara, from the fact that we don't say that we could always avoid paying the Nizik from Edis by threatening to pull this fast one and reverse the transaction for the Ziburis and give the Ziburis back to the seller, says Rashi, we have to be talking about a situation where the seller is no longer alive, where the seller died. Now, where the seller died, you can't say, oh, I'm going to reverse the transaction, I'm going to give the Ziburis back to the seller's heirs, and now you're going to collect the Ziburis in the hands of the seller's heirs. Because that doesn't work. The seller's heirs are not obligated to satisfy this type of obligation, as we're going to see right now in the Gemara. We're talking about Yesomim, Delav B'nei Peroninu, that are not obligated to repay these types of obligations. Fishibude Dilei Ale Didei Ramya. And the obligation that the father had travels as a mortgage with the property. It never goes back to the Yesomim. Hilka lekach lameimar hachi. Therefore, you can't make this taina. Now, the halacha is, though, that if the truth is that we're dealing in a situation where the mocher died, so when the lokeach bought the idis ba'achrona, why is it that everybody collects from their own level? Why doesn't everybody collect from the idis? He can't say, oh, if you sit tight and collect from your own level, great. If not, I'm going to mess you over by giving the Ziburis back to the Mocher. There is no Mocher. He's dead. He doesn't have that leverage. No. The reason that he could say it is like this. Why did the Chachamim say that you cannot collect from Nechasim Mishabadim, meaning lands that were already purchased by Elokeach, when the mocher still is holding on to property? In mishum tekanta didi, it's to protect the lokeach. That's why. I know about tekanta lo nichali. I don't want this takana. In other words, I don't want you to have to seek recourse to the last property that was sold, which was here idis. I want you to come after me. The reason that ordinarily the halacha says you can't come after me is to protect me. I don't want the protection of the halacha. How do I know that a person is allowed to relinquish the protection of the halacha? Kidda Rava, it's like the shita of Rava. Diyama Rava, kolo omer yefshi, v'takanas chachamim, kagonzu, shomen lo. Anybody who says, I don't want the protection of the chachamim, like this, we listen to him. What does it mean, like this? My kagonzu, kidda Ravuna, it's like the shita of Ravuna. Diyama Ravuna, yechola isha, shetayama, labala, eni nizonas, veni osa. That a woman can say to her husband, you know what, don't give me mizonos, and you don't get my maisa yadayim. The Chachamim made a takana, ordinarily speaking, because back in the days of the Gemara, most women were not very productive professionally. So the takana was that the husband would have to support her, and in exchange for the support, any maisa yadayim, any profit that the woman made would go to the husband. If the woman was a successful businesswoman, and she said, you know what, I don't want your silly mizonos, I want to keep my salary, and don't worry, I'll pay for my yom mizonos. Thank you very much. So Rava says, we listen to her. Why? Because even though a person is ordinarily protected by a takana the chachamim, she can relinquish the protection. So too over here, even though ordinarily speaking, the lokeach would be able to force all of the collectors to go against the last property that he purchased, here, because the last property that he purchased was Edis, he could say, you know what? I don't want the protection of the takana. I want to step into the shoes of the mocher. Everybody come after the level of property that they would ordinarily be entitled to. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Pshita, macher lokeach beinonis v'ziburis. Let's say if the lokeach sold beinonis and ziburis, v'shayer Edis lefanav, and he left the Edis, and he left the Edis in front of him. Meaning, we're dealing with a case where a lokeach bought all property from the mocher, and now the lokeach is selling two of those properties to a second lokeach. Now, the halacha is that the mortgage on the property continues to travel. It travels along. If the mocher has an obligation, the property is mortgaged when it's in the hands of the lokeach. The lokeach transacts that property, the mortgage remains on the property. So says the Gemara again, But he bought all three levels of property. He sold the Beinonis and Ziburis, and he left the Edis in his possession. That they could all collect from the Edis. The Achronahi, because it's the last one. In other words, he bought the Edis last, and the Edis remains in the possession of the Lokeach Rishon. Ubeinonis Fiziburis, less new Gabe. And he doesn't own the Beinonis and Ziburis anymore. The Matzi Lameimar, Lu Gavim Ebeinonis Fiziburis. He can't say anymore, oh, don't collect from Edis, go collect from Beinonis and Ziburis. Because I don't want the takana of the Rabbanan. The only time the Lokeach is able to say that, oh, I don't want the protection of the takana of the Rabbanan, so everybody collect from the type of property that he's ordinarily entitled to, is only when he owns all those types of property. But over here, he doesn't own the Beinonis and Ziburis anymore. He already sold it on to somebody else. And the Nimuka Yosef points out that the takana of the Rabbanan that protect the Lokeach by saying that you collect against the property that was purchased last, that protects not only the first Lokeach, but also the second Lokeach. So the second Lokeach could say, I do want that protection. I want you to go against the Edis because that was the last acquired property. Says the Gemara, Aval Malchar Edis, let's say he sold the Edis, the Shire Beinonis Viziburis Mai, and he left only the Beinonis and Ziburis in his possession, what's the halacha? So Savra Abaya Lameimar Asukulu Gavim Edis. So Abaya thought to say that, still everybody gets to collect from Edis because the first purchaser bought the Edis last. Therefore, it was the last property that was in the hands of the original obligor. So even though it was the only property that was sold to the second Lokeach, because it was the last property in the hands of the obligor, the creditors could come and collect from that property. But Amar Le Rava, my machar, Rishon Lasheni, no, what did the first guy sell to the second guy? Kol Schus, Atavol Yodo. He sold any schus that he had in the property. The Kivan, the Ilu, Asu, Gabi, Lokeach, Rishon, and since had they come to the Lokeach, Rishon, Matsi, Agvile, Mi, Beninis, Fiziburis, Vafalpi, the Chizavni, Beninis, Fiziburis, Akati, Idis, Bnei Chorin, just like the Lokeach, Rishon would have said, you know what, everybody slot into your level. I don't want the protection of the Takana, so you cannot collect from Edis. Vein Ephraim bin Chasim Meshavadim calls Mandika bnei Chorin. Masi Amarle lo nichali b'aytakana. Lokeach Sheni nami Masi Amarle gavi beninis viziburis. The Lokeach Sheni can also say, oh, collect from the beninis and ziburis. The Chizavin Lokeach Sheni adaita the calls chusei the avile the rishon begava zavin. And so this concept basically means that if the first Lokeach could have had a taina, the second Lokeach has the same taina, even though it doesn't appear to be relevant. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, now another case. Ruvain Shemachar kol sodos of Shimon. Ruvain says all of his properties to Shimon. V'alach Shimon amachar soda achas l'Levi. And Shimon went and sold one field to Levi, and that field that he sold, says Rashi, importantly, was a Beinonis field. Uba b'alchov to Ruvain, and the b'alchov of Ruvain comes. Now, Ratzam Izegova, he could collect either from Ruvain, from the Edis of Ziburis, or he could collect from the Beinonis that he sold to Shimon. V'lo Amran, Ela the Zavin Beinonis. That's only when he sold Beinonis. Avol Zavin, Edis v'Ziburis, lo. But if he sold Edis and Ziburis to Levi, then the Balchov has to collect from Shimon. He cannot collect from Levi. Why can't he collect from Levi? Damar Le, Lahachi Daiki v'Zavni, Edis v'Ziburis, Aru de Lochazilach. Because Levi says, I was very careful. I bought only the Edis and Ziburis. I bought only the property that you didn't have a lean against. Vafilus of Beninis, Nami Lo Arman, Elo de Loshayer Beninis to Kavase. And when we said that Shimon sold his Beninis to Levi, when we said that the Balchov could collect either from Shimon or Levi, that's only where Shimon didn't leave any over any Beninis. De La Motzi Amarle and Achtala Kamakam Lagabe Shimon. Aval Shayer Beninis to Kavase, Gabe Shimon Lo Gave Mine. But if Shimon also has Beninis, then the Balchov can't collect from Levi. You're not gonna mess over the subsequent purchaser. You're gonna make him go against the first purchaser. De Motzi Amarle and Achtala Kamakam Ligvos Mimeni. Amar Abaye, let's just go a little weiter. Ruvain Shemachar Sada Lashimon Ba'achrayas. Ruvain sells a Sada to Shimon Ba'achrayas. Now it's important to point out, Achrayas we say is Tos Sofer. So the only time there is no Achrayas is when the Shtar specifically disclaims Achrayas. V'yasa Balchov de Ruvain V'toref Mishimon. Now the Balchov of Ruvain comes and tries to collect from Shimon's, from the property that's in Shimon's possession. Dina hu da'azol Ruvain amishtoi dina ba'adei. Ruvain, the seller, could go contend with the Balchov. And the Balchov can't say, oh, you're not my litigant. litigant. I don't have to respond to you. I'm trying to collect from property that's in Shimon's hands. Because ordinarily, a litigant only has to respond to his adversary. He doesn't have to respond to a third party. Because Reuven can say to the Balchov, Imafkis minei, Eloi hadar. Of course you're my litigant, because if you collect from Shimon, my purchaser Shimon's going to try to collect from me. So this is very personal to me. It's very relevant to me. Vika Damri and others say, Afilu shlobach rayas nami. Even if it was sold shlobach rayas, again, which will touch up that the Shtar specifically disclaimed achrayas, Demalei lo nichali David Shimon taruma salai, because he could say that I don't want Shimon to have any tainus against me, and therefore Reuven can make a tain on behalf of Shimon. Tosfa says, what's enough gemina? They could both, the halacha is tanina lo'lokeach, because tanina lo'lokeach, we basically allow the lo'lokeach to make any taina that the seller could have made. What nafkamina is it that Reuven could make a taina? Tosfa says there is a nafkamina, let's say by Raya Achrona. If Shimon says, I give up, I have no more tainas, now Reuven could come and say, I have a Raya because he hadn't been litigating with it previously, or says Tosfa's for Gilgul Shvua. If Reuven otherwise has a shvua that the Balchov owes to him, he can force the Balchov to take a shvua, even though Shimon wouldn't have been able to do it. All right, we're going to stop here. Welcome to Mayreinu, who's back. So Baruch Hashem, I am done. He is going to take over tomorrow. Two lines up from the bottom. Chesem Abeis. Hope everybody has a great day, a wonderful Shabbos. And Judah Powers, Hatzlacha Rabbah.